That's the blessed place to be. My message goes along with that theme, that song, Joel's testimony. Turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 55. Isaiah, chapter 55. Let's pray and we'll begin. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all these that have come out. God, I pray, God, as we meet today, God, as always, Father, we ask, God, that you meet with us. We pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that you would speak through me. I pray, Father, that as your word is preached, God, that it would go forth with power. God, I pray that as we look at our lives, I pray, Father, that we would determine to make decisions that would bring honor and glory to you. Again, bless those that are traveling, bless the teens. God, I pray that you give them a good trip in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you know my kids are on the teen trip, all three of them. So we have an empty house. And one of them, I don't remember who it was, before they left, they was asking my wife how we were going to do while they were gone. They were worried about us. And I started crying. So the bills probably won't get paid. The house probably will cave in. I was heartbroken. Gone since last Sunday night. Won't be home till Thursday. Haven't called them. They haven't called us and haven't been worried about them. It's been a beautiful thing. I kind of like this empty nest type thing. Actually, this is the first time they've been gone. We've been gone. We've left them. But, you know, this time they've left us, and it's been a blessing. see ya. See you. But it's good that they were able to go, and like we pray and talk, we pray that they're making good, godly decisions. Good, godly decisions. They have opportunities that I never had at their age, and I'm so thankful for it. And it's because of that song that was just sang. It's because of that testimony that Joe just gave. It's because of what I'm going to preach on today. Ho, everyone, verse number one, that thirsteth. Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Today I'm going to preach a simple, simple message again. And I title it, Lord, I'm Thirsty. Lord, I'm thirsty. This word thirsty, I think we all can relate to it in a physical sense. This word thirsty is a ideal of having an intense desire. God invites each and every one of us to the waters of life. But he says there's a prerequisite. He says, those that are thirsty. This is not a fleshly thirst that we're talking about here. Like I said, we all understand and all know what a fleshly thirst is. I'm a wrestling coach, and for you that know wrestling, you know that wrestlers on the day of a match, they have to make weight. And one night after practice, the day before a match, I weighed all the guys in and had a guy that was 2 pounds underweight. I said, okay, good, you can eat a little bit, but man, you're 2 pounds under, you're in good shape. And the next day, when it was time to weigh in, he was a pound over. And afterwards, I said, what happened? Well, I was in the middle of the night. I found myself in front of the refrigerator. And the refrigerator was open, and in my hand was a jug of milk. And I was jugging the milk. Honestly said that. Now, after I did a few things to him, he got back down the weight. But he was thirsty. And he couldn't control his thirst. He wanted to take care of that thirst. And it wasn't right what he did, but he wanted to take care of that thirst. Here God gives us a spiritual realm, a spiritual sense of this matter of being thirsty. And he's saying, I want you to do something about your thirst. I want you to move because of your thirst. Now, I understand we're living in America and people just aren't thirsty for Jesus today. And if you could sum this all up, you would say, do you want, I would simply ask the question, do you want Jesus today? Do you want Jesus today? Like I was about to say, I understand we live in America. And in America, you won't find too many people that are thirsty for Jesus. I find it hard to believe, but more and more as I knock on doors, as I talk to people, and it's been happening so much. I'm coming across people that tell me this: I don't believe in God. I just don't believe in God. I had a couple of guys, three or four guys. I walked up to them and I said, "You guys ready for Jesus to come?" And they looked at me and said, Mr. Todd, you trying to tell me, are you trying to tell me, you believe there's a heaven up there and a hell down there?" And I said, "Nope, but the Bible does." But we're living in a day when people just don't believe. And people have their own thought of what they believe this book says, if they even believe it. And I understand that. I understand there's a lot of people in here, and there's so many thoughts. There are so many ideas of what you think the Bible says. I understand there's some that probably come just to criticize. Some probably came just to point at how bad everything is. But Jesus wants us, for those that want him, to be thirsty. We're not talking about a fleshly thirst. We're talking about a spiritual thirst. And if some of you are like me at times, when it comes to this matter of being thirsty, I just don't want it sometimes. Sometimes our flesh just takes over and we say, you know what? I don't want it. I don't want it. You know, it's amazing. Jesus says, come ye. He says, come ye, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. It's an amazing thing, because that's right down my alley. You don't have to have money. It's not something that you can buy. Jesus is free. Amen. Amen. And if you want him, he freely offers the gift of salvation to you. You can't buy it. When it comes to this matter of money, when you look at Jesus, Jesus looks at all of us as bankrupt. We've all had to file chapter 11 or 13 or 9 or 7 or whatever number it is today. There's so many of them. We've all had to file bankruptcy. Because there's nothing we have. There is nothing you can do. There is nothing you can offer. There is nothing you can say to merit that gift of eternal life, but simply come to the waters of Jesus. That's what he wants. But it's so sad because so many don't. So many don't. You can look at the blessings of God. You can see those that have good families and you say, man, I like those kids. Man, I like those kids. Man, those are some good kids over there. Now, you know your kids, and you know the truth. But you can go take them out to eat. And man, a waitress will come up, and this has happened to us. A waitress will come up to us and say, you guys have some wonderful kids, well-mannered. Thank you. Thank you. That happened to us at camp this week. We took the camp to a Silverhawks game. And before they got off the bus, you know, we had to put the law down. There's about 80 of them. We had to put the law down as they were going into the ballpark. If you do this, 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 we're going to do this, 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 and this. And as we were giving out the tickets, the kids were going into the park. One of the ladies said to me, man, you have some good kids here. I started laughing. Thank you. Thank you. But we see that and we say, man, I want that. Like Joe's testimony, I want what he has. Get thirsty. I want that good family. Get thirsty. I want that peace. Get thirsty. I want that happiness. I want that joy. I want that everlasting life. You can have it all. Jesus is not a respecter of persons. Jesus wants every one of us to have joy. He wants every one of us to have peace. He wants every one of us to have a good life. You just got to be thirsty. You have to have that intense desire to want Jesus. To want Jesus. And God wants us to have it. You asked a question. Can you have peace? Can I have joy? Can I have victory? Get thirsty. Can I have all of this goodness? Get thirsty. Get thirsty. I also see in this passage unsatisfied thirst. You know, the world seeks satisfaction in different places. I guess in this area there's a big drug problem. Now forgive me, I don't know the drugs. I was telling my class, I've only seen cocaine one time, and that was when I was in 10th grade, a kid in my class, it was a health and safety class too, but he unzipped his coat and pulled out a bag of cocaine and said, Todd, do you want some of this? That's the only time I've ever seen it. And by the way, I said no. The world seeks satisfaction in so many different areas. The drug addict says, I gotta have that drug. Why? I have to have my fix. I have to have one more shot. The person that smokes cigarettes, and I'm not talking about anyone, so please don't think I'm talking about you. And I don't have anybody in mind. But that person that smokes a cigarette says, I gotta have this cigarette. My nerves are just shot, and they'll be shot until I get my satisfaction. Well, what's your satisfaction? The cigarette. That drunkard. He does everything he can. He'll stand on the side of a street with a cup, and he'll stand out there all day with the cup, waiting for someone to come and put some pennies in that cup, and waiting until he gets enough pennies to go to the liquor store and buy a bottle of booze. Why? Because he's searching for some satisfaction. We seek satisfaction in jobs. Some think if I get just another dollar, I'm going to be happy. If I make just one more dollar, I'm going to be happy. Some look for wealth and some look for friends. But the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, he says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is a way of death. These are all unsatisfied thirsts. And if that's what you're thirsty for, you'll always want more. If that's where you're looking for satisfaction, if you're looking for satisfaction in the world, you will always want more. Because there is only one place that you can get that thirst quenched spiritually, and that's through Jesus. And I'm asking the question today, do you want Jesus? Do you really want Jesus? Dr. Tatum tells a story about a man that knocked on his door. And Dr. Tatum came to the door, and a man was standing at his door, and the man was crying and said, Dr. Tatum, I want God to kill me. I want God to kill me. I just want God to kill me. What happened? I've been an embarrassment to my family. I've been an embarrassment to my wife. I've been an embarrassment to the church. I've been an embarrassment to the community. Dr. Tatum, I just want God to kill me. Dr. Tatum said, come on in. Man went in, went to the couch. They got on their hands and knees, and Dr. Tatum began to pray. And he said, dear Jesus, I pray that you would kill this man. Give him what he wants. He wants you to kill him. Lord Jesus, please kill him. Lord, and the guy was looking at him. He said, Pastor, what are you praying? He said, I'm praying that God would kill you. No, that's not what I don't want you to pray like that. Dr. Tatum said, I'm praying that God would kill the old man in you. I'm praying that he would kill the old man in you and make a new man. You get thirsty. You know what Jesus will do? He'll kill that old man and he'll make a new man in you. Amen. We ought to be thirsty today. And I'm going to give some points on some areas that I think we ought to be thirsty. First of all, I believe we ought to be thirsty for righteousness. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter number 5. And verse number 6. Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, I'm going to compare this to Psalms chapter 7. I want you to see this. Psalms chapter number 7, a familiar verse. Psalms chapter number 7 and verse number 11. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked when? Every day. God is angry at the wicked every day. Isaiah 48:22 says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Now you see, on one hand, we see God says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And then on the other hand, we have this matter that we need to deal with, that God is angry with the wicked every day. So either you're going to be thirsty for righteousness, or are you going to be honest with ourselves and say we're wicked? And if we're wicked, the Bible says God is mad at you right now. God is mad at you right now. And therefore, if that is the case, when you come to church and you're a wicked person and the preacher steps on our toes, what normally is our response? I'm going to start to thirst, to hunger and thirst after righteousness? I don't think he should preach like that. Who does he think he is? Why is he saying that? He doesn't have a right to say that. He doesn't have a right to preach that. Who does he think he is? No, what he's doing is he's hitting your sin. Because there's a good chance you're probably not right. And you know what we have to thirst for? We have to thirst for righteousness. We have to thirst for righteousness. The Bible says sin stinks in the nostrils of God. There's not very many Josephs. Look in Genesis chapter number 39. Genesis chapter 39, verse number 9. Begin verse number 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house. And he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Here is a man that wanted to be right. And he's facing right now a huge temptation. He's facing a huge temptation. His boss's wife tempts him to do a wicked deed. And Joseph, being a righteous man in this situation, shows her so much respect. And he looks at her and he says, "Wait a second, don't you understand? Look, your husband," giving him respect also, "your husband has trusted me with all of this, with your whole house." He says, "How can I sin against your husband? Sin against you? It's just him and her." He says, "How can I sin against God?" You see, Joseph was thirsty for righteousness. There was something that he had inside of him. Righteous people are not defined by rules. Some look at us here at our church and you think we're all defined by Fairhaven rules. And there's a thought there that people say, "Well, that's just Fairhaven. That's just how Fairhaven does things. That's just how Fairhaven dresses. That's just how Fairhaven gets their haircuts. And that's just how Fairhaven talks. And Fairhaven this and Fairhaven that. And yes, I am Fairhaven." Okay. We're not defined by rules here. We're defined by what we believe this Bible says. And as preacher says, the more you believe on this Bible and about this Bible, the more righteous you'll be. Let's be honest with ourselves. He wanted righteousness, Joseph did, more than sin. That's what he wanted. And he said, "You know what? I'm not going to sin against my master." Huh? No, he said, "I'm not going to sin against God." Because of what he believed. What do you believe today about Jesus? What do you believe today about Jesus? Number two, we need to be thirsty for our families. Look at Joshua. Look at the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24, excuse me. Again, another familiar text. The Bible says, and if it seem, verse number 15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But he said this, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do we have some men in here today that'll stand on that? Do we have some moms in here that'll stand on that? We've lost our guts. In America, our philosophy today is, it's not whether it's right or wrong, it's what we do. Is that just what we do? When you look at homosexuality, we don't look at it as right or wrong. It's just what we do. Go down the list. What do we look at in America today as being right or wrong? What do you in your family look at as being right or wrong? Now, when we talk about the major sins, oh, we won't do that. But how thirsty are you in your home? How thirsty are you? Some aren't very thirsty. Heard a story about a boy that begged his father to pray with him. And he said, Daddy, please pray with me. And Dad said, not today. Next day he said, Daddy, please pray with me. And Dad said, no, not today. I don't have time. I'm too busy. And the next day he begged his daddy. He said, Daddy, would you please pray with me? And he said, no, I don't have time today. Well, as time went on, that boy lost his interest in what? In praying. And he started getting in trouble. And one evening his father walked into the room and he looked at his son as he was in trouble. And he said, son, let's get on our knees and pray. Oh, Dad, you don't have time for me. Dad, you don't have time for me. And that's the case today. And I know the preacher's gone, but he has such a burden for our families. And he made a statement. He said he has more of a burden for our families than we do, some of us. And I scratched my head. I got three monsters. But if there's one thing I want them to do, I want them to live for Jesus. But I had to scratch my head and I went home and I did. Is it me? Does he have more of a burden for my family than I do? Is he more concerned for my family than I do? It ought not to be. You say, what do? We shake some, we just shake it up. We shake it up. As Elisha was getting older, I went through our house and I got rid of magazines, Reader's Digest, anything in our, and we didn't have anything that the world would call bad. But I went through the house and I started throwing stuff away. I don't want this magazine in here. We get magazines in the mail. Nope, I don't want that in the house. Nope. We get wrestling magazines. I'll go through some of those. My wife will go through them, and she'll look at them and check the pictures out. If they're no good, they go to the garbage. You say, why? We just don't want it. You say, you're bragging. It's what we've been taught here. It's what the Bible says. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And if you put junk in front of those kids, what do you think they're going to take? If we don't have a concern for them, what do you think, or how do you think they're going to turn out? We have the promises of the Bible that if we train up our children in the way that should go, the Bible says they will not depart from it. We need to get busy about this matter of training them up. About training them up. We need to get thirsty for our families. We need to get thirsty for our church. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. Thirsty for our church. Solomon gives us some things to think about when we go to church. Look what he says in verse number 1. He says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. You know what he's saying? He says, when you go to church, be serious. He said, when you go to church, be serious. And I stopped talking about the righteous and the wicked. But let me say this. When you come to church and you listen to the preaching, if there's some wickedness, it ought to be dealt with. It ought to be dealt with. And you know what's so sad? And it's a good thing you come to church. But what's changing? What is changing? When somebody knocked, and I'm not bragging, God knows, but I'll just use me as an example. When somebody knocked on my door way back in 75, they said, you want to come to church? Yep, I want to come to church. 2 years later, I was in camp, walking up to the pool that was up by the old Harris house, and my bus captain was walking right next to me, and as we were walking up to the pool, my bus captain looked down at me, and he said, hey, Todd, if I could provide a way for you to come to school, would you come? Something was happening. Yes, I'm a bus kid. I'm glad to be a bus kid, and some people say that's a derogatory term. Well, I'm a bus kid. And I'm glad. And as I was walking up to that pool, I said, I'll ask Mama if she'll let me go. And thank the Lord for a mother that didn't shut it down. Because when he talked to her, she said yes. And when I wanted to quit, she said, you're not quitting. And boy, that first year I wanted to quit. Oh, I wanted to quit. Coming from the public school to the Fairhaven Baptist Academy. Oh, buddy. Oh, buddy, no discipline, strict discipline. Oh, man. And she said, you're not going to quit. 4 years later, I graduated from the high school. A few years later, graduated. You say, what are you saying? Something ought to change. I grew up in a house with 10 kids. I didn't have nobody reading the Bible with me every day. Nobody came and said, hey, let's go pray. But I got thirsty. I got thirsty for Jesus. And let me tell you, I'm so glad I did. God has been so good to me because of it. God has blessed us in so many ways. Not because of what we've done, strictly because of what he's done through us, to us, for us. And Jesus will do the same thing for you. But let me go back. The preacher would get up and say, there's a teen activity. There's a teen activity this Tuesday night. Do you want to go? I sat like most kids sat. I don't want to go. Something started getting a hold of me. Hey, Mr. Simpson, hey, I need a ride Tuesday night to teen visitation. Can you come and get me? Yep, I'll be there. Hey, Mr. Simpson, I need a ride Saturday to bus meeting. Can you come and get me? And week after week, nobody told me. Nobody twisted my arm. Week after week, I'm on the phone saying, hey, I want to go to visitation on Tuesday night. I want to go to youth activity. I want to go to the wilds in North Carolina. Hey, I want to go here and I want to go. You say, what's happening? I was getting thirsty. Thank God for people in this church that are thirsty. Thank God for people in this church that are thirsty. Our church has so many ministries. Every Saturday night, Mrs. Dameron, bless her heart, she meets with our girls, with a bunch of the teenagers. Not every Saturday night, you know, she didn't do it last night because they're gone, okay, but most Saturday nights, she'll meet with our girls. And they'll practice. For a long time, she had them all at her house on Saturday night. Opened her doors to my kids on Saturday nights to practice and play their instruments. And I know why. But if I didn't know better, I would sit out there and I would say, why does she do that? Why does she open her house? Why does Pastor Dameron open their house for our kids to come in their house on Saturday night and practice and listen to that nonsense? They're thirsty. And we need some people in our church, some others that are thirsty. There's some bus kids that could use, hey, do you have somebody, hey, Mr. Wright, you got somebody on your route that needs some help? We need some people that are thirsty. Look what it says in Amos chapter 6. I want you to see this. Amos chapter 6. Verse number 1. The Bible says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Woe to them that are just sitting in the pew and they won't move. Woe to them that won't get busy. You see, my attitude is this: I can't get too much church. Sunday morning is enough. That's enough because I just can't get too much. Jesus says, woe to you that are at ease. It's comfortable. Jesus doesn't want you to be comfortable. He wants you to be busy for him. There's all kinds of ministries that we have here in our church. And Jesus has a ministry. Our church has a ministry for you. And at some point in time, you got to start growing and saying, you know what? I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of it. What can I do? I don't want to sit back anymore. I want to be a part of it. Woe to them that they're just sitting there doing nothing. Don't think Jesus is happy with you. Don't think you're every once in a while that you come to church that you're okay. I come to church every once in a while. Woe to you that are at ease in Zion. Get busy. Get busy. Get busy. Or get thirsty for souls. Get thirsty for souls. And I'll go quickly. But in Luke chapter 16, we hear a story about the rich man and Lazarus. And I won't look at it, but the rich man and Lazarus. We know the story. Lazarus, he was a poor man. he died. The rich man also died. The Bible teaches us that the rich man went to a place called hell and Lazarus went to heaven. But it's an amazing thing as we look at this thought. When the rich man got to hell, the rich man was then concerned about his family. When he was in hell, he looked up at Abraham and he said, "Abraham, can I go tell them? Can I go tell them? This is an awful place down here. This place called hell, it's an awful place. Can I go tell them?" Listen, he had to wait till he was burning in a place called hell to get concerned about souls. Lazarus says, "No, they have Moses and the prophets." Today, that's us. Do you know someone that's going to die and go to this place called hell? The Bible says he has this water for them. And he told the woman at the well, he said, "If you come to this water, you'll never thirst again." That water is the gift of eternal life. And if you accept this gift of eternal life, you'll never go to that place called hell. But we need to be concerned about people that are on their way there. We need to be concerned about inviting those that we know are lost and tell them about that place. Why wait till like the, and if we're saved, we'll look over the battlements of heaven, we'll see our loved ones lost. Why wait till we're in heaven to get concerned? Or like the rich man, why wait till you're burning in a place called hell to worry about your family that's on their way to this place where you are? Number five, we need to be thirsty for a sincere walk with God. A sincere walk with God. In the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 26, I'll just say it. The Bible says God gave Saul, there was a group of men, a band of men, that followed Saul whose hearts God had touched. Whose hearts God has touched. You know what God wants to do today in here? God wants to touch your heart. But you got to get thirsty. What does it take to have a sincere walk with God? I think it's very simple. Some may look at us and say, "Wow, he's spooky." And I don't think I look too spooky. But just in case you're thinking I do, okay. But you may look at us and say, "Man, he's spooky. Look at him." You know what happened? You know what happened to a lot of people? They just started taking time with Jesus. At some point in time, you got to go home. You got to go into a room. I say this to the kids in my class. You got to go into a room. You got to get your Bible. And you got to open it up. And you got to start reading it. At some point in time. At some point in time, you got to go home. And nobody has to see you. But at some point in time, you got to go home. You got to go into a room. You got to get on your hands and knees. And you got to say, "Jesus, I need your help. Jesus, I need you to be near to me." But I'm looking at a group of people. There's some that are looking at me who have never done that. Some don't remember the last time you did. In order to have a sincere walk with Jesus, you got to spend time. It was like dating. When I was dating my wife, man, I'll tell you what, I had to be at work early in the morning. She was at Purdue. And I wanted to get to know her. 10 o'clock, would call her. 4 o'clock, I would hang up. That's at night. You say, why did you do that? You know why. But we ought to also do that with Jesus. We ought to call him up at 10 and maybe go to bed at 4. You say, why? Because I want a sincere walk with God. If you're not saved, Jesus wants to save you. But you got to be thirsty. And I hope this was clear today. But if you want Jesus, Jesus will be found. He is not hiding. He is not hiding. And he's not just for everybody else in here. Jesus is for you. Jesus is just for you. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in his sight. But you have to be thirsty. And you get thirsty, you'll find them. Let's pray.